Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
My boyfriend, who isn't vegan, he told me a joke the other day. He said, "How can you tell if someone is vegan? They'll tell you."
Welcome to Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm your host, JP. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's show, we'll be hearing some new music from the Joshua Payne Orchestra and Palace of Buddies. We'll be checking in with an organizer of art shows, talking to tattoo artist John McAfee, and doing the weekly rundown with resident daily calendar expert Esther. We'll also be exploring the phenomenon of vegan drinkers. Hopefully we'll get some insight on the question, is killing your own liver a vegan thing to do? Let's get right to the vegan question. We're going to be speaking with Lorraine Clegg, an organizer of SLC Vegan Drinks and an experienced vegan chef. Vegan Drinks is a potluck that happens on the first of every month at the W Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. This is an edition of a worldwide event that started in New York City and is now featured in 21 cities. Let's listen in as Esther Moronio gets the details about the Vegan Drinks.
Vegan Drinks is a monthly networking social for veg curious vegans or anyone who just wants to explore a vegetarian lifestyle. We're the first Friday of every month at the W Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a potluck, so we ask people to bring vegan dishes. There's always plenty of food and plenty to share, so we welcome dishes, but if you're just curious to try out the cuisine, we invite you to come out.
So you don't have to bring something, like, because I'm a really terrible cook. So, in that case, what should I do to contribute?
You know, I don't really need to bring anything at all, but a lot of people do buy, like, pre-packaged goods or treats from local vegan bakeries.
Okay.
Anything that you can do to bring, to share, contribute is appreciated, but not necessary.
Okay. And what if you're not vegan? What should you bring if you want to bring something?
Well, you can explore some of your vegan options and shop at some of our local vegan businesses. We've been getting dishes to go. We always have pizzas brought to our events. A lot of other local businesses that provide food for our events. Don't feel like you have to bring food, but if you do come, feel free to join in and eat as much as you like and bring your friends.
Vegan Drinks isn't exclusive to Salt Lake. Where else is it?
Now it's in 28 cities across the United States and also in Sydney, Australia, and also in India.
Wow.
So
that's awesome to
worldwide.
Yeah, it's awesome to know that there are that many vegans out there.
And growing.
Yeah.
And I do urge anyone who's interested in starting their own vegan drinks in their city to visit vegandrinks.org. Okay. And they have all the information how you can set up your own vegan drinks in your city.
Does Vegan Drinks cost anything?
Oh no, it's totally free to come. Okay. We just, like I say, we ask if you want to bring a drink. It's totally free to come. If you want to bring a dish, you're welcome. But like I say, we're it's open to anyone.
Isn't exclusive to Salt Lake, right?
Yes, yes. It actually originated in New York City in May of 2008. It was the brainchild of supervegan.com, Jason Doss, and Deborah DeMont. They were influenced by the green drinks that was taking storm across the country. They got together, decided to do vegan drinks. So in August of 2008, when I was visiting New York, I worked my trip around vegan drinks, and it was there that I first experienced it, fell in love with it, and jumped at the opportunity to have it here in Salt Lake City.
So what attracted you to it?
In the past, because I've been vegan for 19 years, in the past, when vegans got together, it was usually only at protests. where this is an event you just come together just to socialize, relax, you know, talk, share recipes, network, share ideas, concepts, and just really just make new friends.
So I know that a lot of people get kind of put off because they feel like vegans are a little pushy with their beliefs and that we like to, you know, let everyone know that we're vegan and try to get everyone to become vegan.
Yeah.
So is this that kind of event? Are people that go there going to get veganism pushed on them, or is it more casual? What should a non-vegan expect going into this?
It's very casual. We do have a community table that has information available for anyone who is interested in getting new information about veganism. But we also have our community shout-outs, which is my favorite part of the night, where individuals can get up and promote their nonprofit, their cause, their business, themselves. Mm-hmm. And in that way, people can learn what's going on in their community and also meet other people and see that they care about the same things that they care about, hopefully connect in some way.
So why did you pick W Lounge to host the event?
Casey had just started to do a vegan potluck there, and I attended the first one. At this time, we were holding our vegan drinks at Vertical Diner, and he approached me, and I jumped at it. It was fun at Vertical Diner, but because the way it was a restaurant setup, it wasn't very social. People were really locked into their seats, and they couldn't really mingle and meet each other. And so now being in the W Lounge environment, it's open, you're free to mingle, move around, and then, of course, eat, enjoy. We have guest DJs every month. I think that the people that come to Vegan Drinks are really some of the sweetest people I've ever met. So compassionate, people that are compassionate about animals, I think, are also compassionate about other people, too, I've found. So, yeah, it's a very caring, warm environment, I believe.
Yeah. So is Casey, he's the owner of the W.
Yes.
Is he vegan as well?
He is vegan.
Oh, okay, that's really cool. I didn't know that about him. You're also the co-owner of Union Street Eats, and that's the new vegan Mexican food cart here in town. Do you want to kind of plug that a little bit?
Yeah. I love what I do. I hope you can come on down. We're serving lunch Wednesday through Saturdays from 11 to 3 p.m. We basically make everything fresh every morning, and we have daily chef specials, and we're just really enjoying creating great food, being on the street, being able to connect with people with food, and also look at it as a form of activism to reach people and hopefully get people to at least open up to veganism or hopefully change their concept of vegan food.
The next Vegan Drinks is October 7th at W Lounge from 7 to 9 p.m. For more info, go to facebook.com/slcvegandrinks. Joshua Payne is a local musician who's been around for quite some time. He even has his own orchestra now. We'll be listening to a release from his latest album, Zoom, which came out August 16th. Thank you. Check out the Joshua Payne Orchestra's CD release show on September 15th at Urban Lounge at 9 p.m. with Calico. John McAfee, a local tattoo artist, has been working in the business for 10 years and has worked at places such as Apparition Inc. and Oni. He's the owner of Heart of Gold Tattoo on 853 East 400 South in Salt Lake City. His influences are fantasy and sci-fi art. He works in the styles of realism to traditional. And Slug staff writer James Orm recently sat down and talked with the man about his business and his art.
Was it more like, wow, I can draw and make money at it and kind of be an artist? Or was it like, I really am into this art of tattooing?
I'd been into it for a long time. I mean, I'd always been into fantasy art and comic book art and movies and video game art and stuff like that. But like, I've been into the tattoo, well, the tattooers that I first liked, they did more realism and more like sci-fi type stuff, like Guy Atchison and Aaron Kane. They did all this like spacey, realistic sci-fi, like organic biomechanical stuff. And I loved H.R. Giger, of course. So like all the traditional style of tattooing, I didn't get in until later. When I first started, I was more all about like the realism kind of end of it, even though I just started and I had no hope of ever getting to that point of being able to do that stuff. And, well, I can now, but it was a lofty goal for a
long way from where you were.
Yeah. You should just start with the basics and the foundations and fundamentals of tattooing and not attempt any of that when you first start.
Where does the artist part come in? Because I know a lot of times people come in and say, I want this on this paper on my skin, and some people don't.
It starts there. I mean, you have to, like I said, you have to be a good artist in other mediums beforehand, before you can be technically proficient at tattooing. I don't know, there's a lot of things where, like, if someone wants a Raiders logo or something, you can put that on someone's skin and be technically proficient in doing so, and it can have clean lines and solid colors and be nice, but you may not be able to draw something from scratch out of your head. And so, are you an artist at that point, or are you just a craftsman? So, and I think there's a lot of really good tattooers that may just be good craftsmen, and they're not necessarily good artists. But I don't really necessarily believe that there's this whole deep, I have absolutely like no deep spiritual drive in my soul to be artistic or express myself artistically. I don't consider myself quote unquote artiste. I consider myself closer to an illustrator. I can draw and I can create things and I can pull off a technically proficient tattoo. But I'm not Van Gogh or Jackson Pollock. You know, I'm not a tortured soul that needs to create to live. That's all bullshit.
It kind of fits in there in a weird way, because I can see where if somebody, like you said, if somebody says, I want this logo, then that's pretty much what you give them. But yeah. If somebody comes in and says, you know, I want flowers and a dragon and just make it work, then you kind of, that's where the artist part kind of comes in.
There's definitely a wrong way, a right way and a wrong way to do a tattoo, that's for sure. And a lot of people do it the wrong way. I mean, you have to, like, approach designing, like, a large-scale tattoo or something. You have to have an eye for design and for layout and where things are going to look good. You can't just slap it on like a stamp. Of course, artistry comes into being a tattoo artist. That's why you're called a tattoo artist. But I prefer the term tattooer, illustrator, craftsman.
Can you be a tattoo craftsman or a tattoo?
But
a tattoo engineer.
Sure.
Researching tattoo artwork.
Yeah.
You seem to know an awful lot about it, like you said, the old timers or, you know, the history. What importance does that play on what you do today?
It definitely gives you a great, great appreciation for the craft itself and its history. you're part of this history, and you know, you want to maintain the integrity of its legacy. You're tattooing in the footsteps of some awesome tattooers. Like, that's cool. And knowing tattooers from the past, being familiar with their artwork, is important. Some other people might say that they can get away with not, but it gives me a better appreciation for what I do and for a living, knowing the history of it. And it's just cool anyways. It's interesting, whether it's old-timey sailor tattoos, or even like Russian prison tattoos, or gang tattoos, Japanese tattoos. Knowing about it, it's like anthropology tattooing. It's cool. And I think it helps me a lot. It helps me appreciate what I do.
Like you said, if people kind of have an attitude of like, I don't need to know the history of tattooing to be a tattoo artist, what would you say to somebody like that?
Why they want to be a tattoo artist? You think it's all fun and games and then you're going to be a rock star? If you're not interested in tattooing and its history, then why do you want to be a tattooer? I've encountered people like that and it just boggles my mind. I don't know. It's like wanting to learn how to play guitar without knowing who Jimmy Page was or something.
Yeah, I guess very much like I play guitar and several instruments, and even if you don't like somebody like Jimmy Page or Jimi Hendrix, you can still learn from them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can still kind of understand something through them. So I guess if tattooing is similar, then you could look at a Sailor Jerry tattoo and learn something from it, or learn something from him without, you know, having to be like, oh, I'm going to do classic tattoos for the rest of my life. You know, does that make sense? If I can understand what you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, I think that it's important to know its history. It gives you an appreciation for your job and for the history of everything. And, like, it's another dumb example. If you wanted to do movie special effects and you didn't know or care who Stan Winston or Tom Savini was, that would be stupid. And you probably wouldn't make it very far. And other movie special effects artists would probably look at you like, who's this asshole who doesn't know who Tom Savini or Stan Winston is? Like, if you're not interested in its history and its, and the people who came before you who have made it so you have the job that you have now, I mean, without Sailor Jerry or Don Ed Hardy or Jack Rudy, or like, you have to know the history. Not only is it interesting and cool, but I think you should know it. Otherwise, I might not respect you.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking almost like backwards. Like, if you didn't know who those people were, I guess that kind of alludes to the fact that you're really not passionate about this.
Exactly. So. Exactly. That's a much better way to put it than my special effects analogy.
What are the major changes in tattoo culture that you've seen?
Man, traditional tattoos got huge. I mean, huge. Which is awesome, but to the point where there are the artwork's on $300 t-shirts, you know, that's ridiculous. A lot of tattooers have gone back and started simplifying their style to be more old-timey. Just clean, bold lines and solid colors, but which, I mean, that's the essence of tattooing. I mean, really simple traditional stuff has gotten really big. That's a huge trend that wasn't around. I mean, the traditional style's been around for years and years, but it's really popular now. Whereas 10 years ago, it wasn't quite so. That's changed. Tribal, like black and gray, and good, real tribal, I think, is gonna make a comeback, which I'm stoked for, because I like tribal.
Are tattoos accepted now? Is there still a rebellious side? Do you feel like you can stand up, like you say, with a carpenter or a lawyer, or and be as widely accepted as in your profession?
I don't think that I'm any kind of radical fringe culture at all. Mm-hmm. I'm a normal, regular guy with a wife and a daughter who has a regular job, because what I do is, there's nothing
subversive, I guess.
No, there's nothing scary or weird about it. I mean, that tattoo shop is as normal as any other locally owned business. So there's nothing crazy or weird about what I do. That's what I think, personally. That's not what everybody else thinks. It is more widely accepted than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and certainly 20, 30, 40 years ago. To the point where it's completely normal watch an NBA game, for crying out loud.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's so mainstream now, which is good and bad, because what draws a lot of people to it is the subculture, rebellious kind of thing. And if it gets too mainstream, then that's going to be completely gone, which, I mean, people are still expressing themselves individually with the subject matter that they get tattooed in the, you know, other ways, but I'm not afraid. I think, whatever, I mean, it's the industry is going to change and evolve, and you just kind of have to roll with it. If you told Sailor Jerry that his tattoo designs were going to be on $300 t-shirts and
laugh,
you know, he'd probably punch you in the face. No, not really. But he'd laugh. He'd laugh like, that's ridiculous. This is, but whatever.
For more info on Heart of Gold and to see John's artwork, go to heartofgoldtattoo.com and check out the print article on John in our March 2011 issue on slugmag.com. Every week, we like to do a rundown of our daily calendar section, which you can find on slugmag.com and in the back of our print publication. This week, we're lucky enough to have Esther back again. How are you doing, Esther?
Great. I think I'm going to be here every week now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you in advance. You sound really excited about that shit. Well, why don't we start off with a Tuesday event for once? We usually start off with Wednesdays or something, but I'm feeling pretty Tuesday-y and feeling pretty excited as well about the September 13th show of Agnostic Front. Have you ever heard of that group before?
Yeah, they're a New York hardcore band from the 80s.
And also joining them on stage, we'll find Naysayer, Mongoloids, and Climb. That show's taking place at Burt's. Is there anything else this week you're looking forward to?
Yeah, on Thursday the 15th, some punk bands are also playing at Bar Deluxe. It's the Hung Ups, Be My Doppelganger, Problem Daughter, and the Toros. Should be a fun show.
Bar Deluxe, which is at my favorite address in Salt Lake, 666 South State Street. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Well, give us awards. Saturday, September 17th, the Flaming Lips will be coming to Salt Air. Have you heard of the Flaming Lips before?
I have.
Good job.
Very knowledgeable this week.
You are. The Flaming Lips are pretty awesome. Wayne, their lead singer, is a really talented guy. Worth the drive, actually. I usually don't say that about Salt Air, because who wants to drive out to a big warehouse on the edge of a dying lake? That's the sound most people make just there. But this time, the Flaming Lips are going to be there, so it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Anything else in the rest of the week that's getting you going, floating your boat?
Yeah, actually, that same day of the Flaming Lips show, it's also Slug writer Dean O'Hillis's. Dean O'Hillis's birthday. He's a really great writer. He wrote an exclusive review of Erasure's newest album that you can check out on our website.
And Monday, September 19th, I think we're all quite excited about this this event. What is going on the Monday?
New episode of Sound Waves from the Underground.
Yeah. Can you clap? Two. There we go. Two people clapping. Three. Three fucking people in the office. Not to overwhelm you or anything with excitement. Thanks again, Esther, for joining us for another rundown on the daily calendar. And if you would like to, you can download the Slug app in the iTunes market for your iPhone. Maybe we'll get an Android one day. But in the meantime, just do the iTunes. Hey, thanks again for joining us, Esther.
You're welcome.
Fortunately for you, even though you're quite bummed sounding about it, we'll have you back for next week as well.
I'm super excited.
Good, good. I believe you now. Thank you. Palace of Buddies is a local group comprised of Nick Foster on drums and Tim Myers on guitar. They make a surprisingly layered sound for just two guys. Here's a new track from their sophomore album, Summertime. can check out Palace of Buddies' CD release show at Urban Lounge on September 23rd. To listen to more music, go to palaceofbuddies.com. Trolley Square Whole Foods hosts a local monthly art show featuring different artists every month. Corinne Piazza is part of the marketing staff at Trolley Square, and she talks to our own Mariah Mellis about an upcoming show featuring Slug's Bethany Fisher.
Sweet settlements from the dead.
So tell me just a little bit about where this show takes place and give us a little background.
Sure. Well, at Whole Foods Market, it's one of our core values to support our community and be a destination for our community. So we partnered with Slug to bring in local artists, also to highlight some of our local food vendors, too. So we thought, what better than to pair local art and local food? So we feature the art in our cafe. So when you walk in our store, a lot of people are familiar with where you sit and you eat. So we wanted to have some great local art there for our customers to enjoy, too.
Excellent. That's wonderful. And can you just tell me, how are you selecting the artists, or what kind of art are you going for? What's the feel?
Anything goes, pretty much. Slug's helping us curate and choose our artists. Of course, just that it's appropriate for the store is always, you know, helpful. But overall, we just want to be a venue for artists to have an opportunity to reach our customer base and kind of just help them, you know, get the word out about their amazing work.
Nice. So it doesn't have to be pictures of food?
No, not at all. We have enough food in the store. It can be anything else.
Give us a little background. What have we seen so far?
Last month was Leah Bell, and her art is up right now. You can come in and see it anytime. Prior to that, we had one of our own team members that works in our seafood department, Gabe. He actually just did a mural at No Brow, and he had some of his art up in here. So it's been a really awesome experience to just see the different kinds that come in and see our customers' response to them.
Nice. And so they stay up for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell us a little bit about like the local foods that we're putting with it. What can we expect to eat?
Yeah, City Cakes is one of our local vendors. They make great vegan bakery goods, so we'll have cupcakes from them. We've done Shepherd's Dairy paired with local bruschetta. And we even have local Cox honey and crackers, so different things, different local vendors every time.
Nice. So that way you don't look like you're staring blankly at the wall. You can concentrate with a cracker and some, you know, shepherd fairy cheese.
Exactly. And it helps get our customers over that might not have known we had the art showing. Get them in with food, and then we get to talk about the awesome art that's there, too.
Nice. Now, you've also got a mural going up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we partnered with Bad Dog Arts. For our grand opening, we donated $5,000 to them to commission a mural for our outdoor patio area. So you can sit inside and see Slug's local art in the cafe, but when you're outside, you'll see the mural. We've chosen the local students who will be working on it and the artists, and it's called From Water Tower to Wind Power, Trolley Square Then and Now. So it'll kind of feature the history of this building all the way up to we're one of the most energy efficient buildings in the grocery markets in the state. So we'll kind of include all of that in a big pretty mural by local students.
Nice. Oh, that's wonderful. I love that idea of the past, present, you know, future of Trolley Square.
And it's cool because Bad Dog really strives to teach their students the business of art. So they'll learn the whole business process, what Whole Foods Market wants to see in their mural. And the students have worked on it from day one. So the whole piece will be truly, you know, a learning experience for them. And we'll have profiles of the students in our store, too, so you can kind of get familiar with the students that are working on the art.
That's wonderful. Now, I just love how you guys are really involved in the community and doing lots of fun events. I know that you guys have like specials in the evenings you can come by and check out, and then there's great places with like Wi-Fi and the cafe. So is there anything in particular we should be looking forward to in addition to these art shows?
Yeah, we strive to partner in the community and be a destination for the community and a cornerstone. So we've got a lot of great events coming, especially at the holidays. We'll have healthy snacks, trick-or-treating for kids. We'll have our chili cook-off. You can come in and try all different kinds of chilies. So lots of fun stuff.
But lots of reasons to come in and check out what's going on here and check out the art. And if you want to submit art, how far out are you booked, or how could somebody find out and submit their work?
We're booked through 2011, but 2012 is open. So go to wholefoodsart@slugmag.com and send in your portfolio and ask any questions, and we'll check you out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
As we mentioned in our daily calendar, you can check out this month's Whole Food Artist Reception with Petiri Photography's Bethany Fisher on Wednesday, September 21st. Thanks for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com. you have any questions, comments, concerns, or an angry thought about the show, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com. Or you can call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That's 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design by T-Done, technical design by Kate O'Connor, and audio mastering from Andrew Glassett. Special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. This is JP. Thanks for joining me for another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. On next week's show, we'll be listening to an interview with Wolves in the Throne Room, hearing a new track from local metal band Spiter, and hearing a new track from Gunner, as well as finding out more information about the Salty Streets Flea Market.